How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. It's very, very nice to see you this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I'll never stop saying it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all worshiping God and praising his name. Thank you so much for deciding to spend your Sunday morning here doing exactly that. And listen, we're continuing our series today, What Do I Believe? And we spoke about it in our huddle this morning, which is when we gather together on Sunday morning as leaders and people serving, that we huddle together and pray for you and get direction and excitement for the day. And I asked the question, what week are we in for the series, What Do I Believe? And we weren't sure, so I have to dig in and go back. But I want to let you know that we started this series off thinking, oh, it'll just be 4 weeks. We're just going to do a four-week series on what do I believe when I don't know what to believe. And God said, you know what? No, you're gonna do a whole lot more than that. And then I asked the question, how long could we do this series? And the answer to that is forever. We could literally just have this series forever and just change the color of the design and change the font, and they could just keep changing that. We could change the video a little bit. But we could continue to ask the question, what do I believe, forever? And we should. We should always be asking that question, because we shouldn't just mail it in and just, I believe that, or I'm just going to go along status quo and just be a yes or woman. Yes man or woman. Yes woman. I never said yes woman before. I've just always said yes man. So it was coming out faster than I could think of it. Felt like Steve Carell. And what was the movie? Bruce Almighty when he was the anchor. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But listen, no question is a dumb question except for an unasked one. If you just keep questions and you hold on to them and you don't ask them, you're never going to learn or move forward. I grew up Serbian Orthodox, which is like, you know, Catholic's cousin on steroids. Okay, very, very religious, very, very, very traditional. And I grew up going to church on holidays and here and there, okay? But I didn't have a understanding that it wasn't about religion, it was about a relationship with Jesus, until I met a girl who's now my beautiful wife. And I started coming to church many, many, many years ago because of a girl. And the second week was because of a girl. And the third week was because I met Jesus in a real, real way. And back in the day, I used to, during worship, all I would do is pray. I loved worship. We attended a church before Bridge City. It was a very small house. I'll explain all that in another time. It was a small house church. My father-in-law had a vision with another couple that they were going to rebuild McKeesport one house at a time, and they launched a church and a house, and it was more like a connection group, but that was my first experience. And Nate, my brother-in-law, was the worship leader, and he would just play the guitar, and I loved it. And I thought during worship, all you're supposed to do is pray. Like, you just prayed and prayed. I was like, Rach, I'm running out of stuff to pray about during worship. Like, I, how do you guys do this? And she's like, worship is this. I was like, oh, so I don't need to pray the whole time during worship? She's like, no. It's like, whew. And then I went to her and I asked another question. I was like, hey, I just need some clarity here. Who do I pray to? Like, am I praying to God or Jesus? Are they the same? Who am I praying to? And she sat me down. She explained some things to me. And I was like, that is so clear. I had no idea. This is like 19 years ago, 20 years ago, before. I didn't know some of the most basic things about Jesus. I didn't know God as a father. I didn't know Jesus as the son, let alone a savior. And I had to ask questions. The verse that I'm about to read to you became so real to me because I really would just jump in. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I would just jump in because God is who he says he is, and I'm going to believe it. I'll test it, but I'm going to believe that he is who he says he is. Why? Because he has proven himself time and time and time and time and time again. We're to walk by faith in everything that we do. But so many times we want fact. That other F word. We're going to talk about some F words today. Fact. Faith, and the one that I really don't like, fear. We'll unpack that one a little bit later. But the faith aspect in us walking by faith, not by sight, it's not, we're not just supposed to close our eyes and blindly walk through life. No, we're supposed to trust God in every single aspect of our life. And today, we're going to be talking about what do I believe about tithing. Everybody's like, oh, I came to church and they're talking about money. None of you laughed because you were thinking that when I said it. Thank you. Now, here's the thing. Nothing about money. This is not about money. It's about our hearts. I heard a statement that this statement will challenge me for the rest of my life. And when I'm talking to people and sharing with people, perspective is one of my favorite words. I believe that's part of my life's message, that I'm going to be a perspective changer for people. God gave that to me years and years and years ago after praying and praying and praying. God, give me a life's message. I'd hear all these pastors. I have a life's message. And God finally gave me one. I'll share that story at another time, but perspective changer. And here's the statement that I heard this week. The distance from between heaven and hell is 12 to 14 inches. Huh? I would think that heaven and hell are a little bit farther apart than that. The average length from your head to your heart is 12 to 14 inches. I knew that. I've heard that statement before. I've heard this taught in different ways, but I never heard somebody say that the length between heaven and hell is 12 to 14 inches. Why is that? Because God doesn't just want you to have a knowledge of something. He wants your heart to change. He wants your heart to be changed and devoted to him and the kingdom of God. I have heard many, many amazing teachers, amazing preachers, amazing men and women of God teach and lead on tithing and what it looks like over the 18 plus years. But it would mean nothing if they didn't sit alongside me or teach about it in a way that it impacted my heart. Knowledge can be really, really amazing. Wisdom can be really, really amazing. But if your heart's not impacted and you don't have those two things working together, it's not going to work. Here's another statement. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. You get what I'm saying here? We need all these things to work together. My prayer is that your heart is impacted today. You don't just gain knowledge about giving and generosity and tithing, but your heart is impacted and touched by the word of God. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a vision and a purpose to come alongside. And that vision is not for us to fulfill, but that vision fulfills us as a people. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, may we get beyond our own heads and the things that have impacted our lives and some for the positive, some for the negative, Lord, and help us to just be open to hearing you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Listen, you heard me say vision in that prayer. And a few years ago, almost 3 years, we started a campaign called the One Vision Campaign. This might be your first week here. You're walking in, you're like, oh man, I picked the Sunday. The One Vision Campaign is a campaign that God placed on our hearts to invest in the future of our church. We all said that we were going to all be focused on one glorious hope for the future of our church. Now listen, we're one church in four locations. We're one church. The White Oak campus is one of those four locations. As the White Oak campus, we are believing for and looking for a building or land to put a building on or a building to renovate. We are not shy about that. We are looking for that. We just looked at 10.5 acres a week and a half ago. Only 3.5 to 3.8 of those acres were buildable. It didn't make sense for us to have to build a $1.5 million retaining wall, and then when we outgrew that space, have to tear that wall down and then build another one that would probably be $2 million. It just didn't make sense. So on to the next one. But we're looking for about 5 acres of buildable land. And then we're believing that we're going to be able to build on that land. New construction is very expensive right now. So we'd much rather busy beavers say we're leaving and we want to give this building and lease to a church. We want to sell it to them. We don't want to lease it. We want to sell it to them. We would really love for Giant Eagle to say, you know what, White Oak's not for us. And the Byers family to sell us that building. We'd love for God to move in that way. But until he does, we'll just keep trusting, okay? The One Vision Campaign. I want to give you an update on where we're at. 3 years ago, a commitment was made across the whole church that $1,825,578 was committed. To date of August 14th, we have received $1,184,975. That is phenomenal. That is amazing. Praise God. The first worship experience clapped way louder than you're clapping. Celebrate that. It's a celebration. It's amazing. We're so quiet in church when we talk about money, and we shouldn't be. It does not need to be awkward. Listen, every time I sit down at a family function, we talk about money, politics, and religion right off the bat. My whole family comes to church, by the way. They do. Just get it off out of the way, right away. Make it awkward. That's 65%. We've hit 65% of what was committed. I'm believing for God to move, and as a whole church, we're going to say we hit 100%. Now, some people have moved on. Some people have passed away. Some people have moved out of the state, and they took their commitment with them. We understand that. But a lot of people have just started coming to the church and never heard of a One Vision campaign. You can help us finish. I'm being serious. You can invest. You weren't here 3 years ago. You had no idea that this was something to be a part of. But you can be a part of the future. Now, I want to speak specifically about the White Oak campus. The White Oak campus as a whole, we committed $568,259. To date, we have received $300,413. That is 53%. Never in the amount of time that the White Oak campus has existed, we'll be celebrating 13 years here soon. We've never been a halfway campus, ever. We're 100% campus. We give 100% of our heart. We give 100% of our time. We give 100% of our treasure. So why do I think that we're at 53%? Because that F word of fear is real. it's real. Our faith is so high, but fear can be crippling at times. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to myself too. I am just giving you an update of where we're at. Now, I want to give you an exciting update of where we're going. That's where we started. I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. I don't know what happened. I'm not concerned with where you're at, but I am excited about how we're going to finish as the White Oak Campus. And here's why. Because I know that God has an amazing plan for our next building that we're going to call home. I know the vision that he has for our campus and for our church. You know, last month, Lennon got to be a part of a VBS here in McKeesport. Rachel and I took him. It was 4 nights we went. And they had a family night as well. And I know the youth pastor. I know the couple of the pastors. I know a couple of the staff members. I went to high school with them, and I grew up. And he's like, Nick, what are you doing? And they pranced me around like, this is the pastor of Bridge City. And I got to talk with people. They have a beautiful building, beautiful space. It's kingdom stuff. We're not in competition. This is kingdom stuff. And I told him, we can't wait until we get a building that we can host stuff like this. And he's like, you know what? We can't wait for you to get a building too. We want to have things in our parking lot, but we can't say, hey, watch out for the, you know, tacos or the leftover margaritas that somebody left. You get what I'm saying? Everybody's like, what's a leftover margarita? Figure it out. Ask your neighbor. Some of you got it. Some of you are still trying to figure it out. That's happened, okay? But we're good neighbors. Did anybody else start singing State Farm Is Here after I said we're good neighbors? Okay. I want you to understand that that's why we're looking for the future. It's not about numbers. It's about the future so that we can see everything that God has for us as a campus, as a whole. And I want us to finish strong because we're not a 53% campus. Amen. I'm going to share more stats here in a minute with you. And it's not about just our church. It's about the kingdom of God. But I'll share with you some things that I want you to understand first. First and foremost, what is a tithe? It's a tenth. It's a part. Now, this is where your brain can start to overcome, and you can start to make it a math problem instead of a faith thing. The Hebrew Maser Strong's number 4643, one-tenth of something. The Greek, decate, a tenth part. The tithe is very clear. It's one-tenth. A tenth of your fruit, your first fruit. Now, it's not just about moving the decimal. It's a faith thing. It's a heart thing. Your mind is not going to overcome your heart. Because so many times, if our mind gets in the way, you can think, my little bit is not going to be as impactful as somebody else's huge amount. I don't make enough. These are all lies that we hear. God doesn't just want your 10%. Let me start there. God wants your whole life. He wants nothing to do with your money. He wants your devotion. Why do I believe in tithing? I'll just start with me, with Rachel and I, with our household. Because, here we go, I'll sum it up. I'm a simple man. I'm not stupid, I'm simple. I like things simple. I'm an adult. I do not need permission to do a lot of things. But I don't make any decisions in my life without going to somebody in my life and asking a blessing. Pastor Rick, I'm coming to you as a father in my life. I want your blessing for this. Pastor Rick, I'm coming to you as my boss. I want to make this decision at the White Oak campus. I want your blessing. Pastor Rick, I'm coming to you as a friend. What do you think? Can you pray with me on this? Can you give me your blessing? It's twofold for this. Number one, if things go completely astray, I can go back like, hey, remember whenever I came to you and you gave me your blessing on that? Yeah, that I messed up. That's the blessing of being under somebody else's umbrella. When it rains, you're covered. I don't need permission, but I want blessing. The same comes with tithing. I want everything that God's giving me to be blessed. So returning to him what's rightfully his so that the rest of my life can be blessed, not just my money, the rest of my life can be blessed, sounds like a pretty good deal that I'm willing to sign on to that covenant with him. And he could do way more with my 10% than I could ever do with 100% of it. That's why I believe in tithing. That's why we as a leadership team, as a church, believe in tithing. Now, these statistics that are going to come up on this graph behind me are very telling about one thing, faith. U.S. adults understanding the tithe. The question was asked, are you familiar with the term tithe? Yes, and it means, that's the green, yes, but I don't remember the exact meaning. That's the blue, and no is red. Pastors, 99% of pastors, yes, and they knew the meaning. Why do you think 99% of pastors know? Not because they get the amazing opportunity to teach about it, not because they tell others about it, not because they share about it, not because of it, they get the opportunity to do all those things. But because their lives, their families' lives are 100% faith-based. This is faith. Rachel and I signed on to be full-time ministers of the Word of God, and we are blessed to be able to do that. But this is everything we do is faith. Staff employees at the church, they're walking in faith. It's like, hey, we're just going to go to our union rep and tell them we want to reconstructure our contracts. Think about that. That's why I really believe in tithing. Because I really believe that I want Lennon to understand faith and understand how blessed we are to have an amazing church family. I'm not going to go through all the other stats. You can take a picture of this, but my brain needed to shift and things needed to go. I'm just going to say my heart's 14 inches away from my head. I think it's probably a little bit farther, but we'll see. Is it 12? Yours is 12? Mine's 14. Okay. I grew up. My dad was a mill worker, 35 years, retired from U.S. Steel. And he would just work overtime. He would work more. He would work harder. He would put his head down to sleep, or he would wake up and go to work earlier, over and over and over again. I started working. I was worked in the corporate world. And if I needed to work harder, I would just close another deal. I would try to make another sale. I would do that. And my brain needed to shift whenever I started working for the kingdom, because it was kingdom-minded, it was faith-focused. And I pray that your heart has changed today when it comes to giving. And it's not about money for you, because tithing's not about money. It's about three things. It's about worship. It's about grace, and it's about trust. We're called to worship God with our whole entire lives. Everything about our life is called to worship God, not just our song. And I'm very appreciative of our amazing worship team that leads us in worship week in and week out. They're so gifted, so amazing. But when you walk out of this place, you're called to continue to worship. You're called to continue to walk in grace. Grace is not a get out of jail free card. Grace is what God gives us to empower us to do something. Grace empowers us to walk into what he's calling us to do. The last thing that tithing is it's an act of trust. We trust him. We trust that he is who he says he is. So we're going to talk a lot about the Old Testament, New Testament, because a lot of people will say that tithing is just an Old Testament thing. If you say that, we can go with the New Testament deal and just give everything. But we'll talk more. Here we go. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. This is the first mention of the tithe, a tenth. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. And Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by the God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. Giving and blessing, giving and blessing, giving and blessing. And so many times our mind tells us that if we give, we'll automatically return more of what we gave. We'll talk more about that because that's not the fact. Let's go to Hebrews 7. 1 through 7. This Melchizedek was the king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God's Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all that he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice, and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are all descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, and one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than one who is blessed. Giving and blessing. Again, we see giving and blessing. We follow the pattern. When we give, the rest seems to be blessed. I've seen it proven time and time and time again. Now, I want you to find out what you believe. Not because you're told it, not because you're taught it, but because God has gotten a hold of your heart. So I'm going to give you some reading material. Homework, if you will. Because remember, Sundays are just an appetizer to help you to eat the rest of the week. I've never Well, I can't say never. I did go to a restaurant once and order all appetizers, and it was a huge mistake. It was a TGI Fridays at the airport before a flight. We were going to Spain for a mission trip, and we were supposed to have a three-hour layover in Detroit. We did not have a three-hour layover in Detroit. We had to run to our connecting flight, which was going to Paris. It's the appetizers hit as we're running. Old Testament mentions of the tithe that I want you to read over and over and over again. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, three times, 2 Chronicles, Malachi. We're going to read a little bit more of these mentions. Here, let's go to 2 Chronicles 31, 5 through 6. I don't need it as good. Everybody's going to look at it the whole time, like, is he thirsty? Is he thirsty? Yeah, you could have it. Put it with my collection of waters that are on the front row. When the people of Israel heard of these requirements, they responded generously by bringing their first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, their sheep, their goats, and the tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God. And they piled them up in great heaps. When they heard of these requirements, they responded generously. So many times, I wonder what would it look like if we responded the same way that those in 2 Chronicles responded. What would it look like if whenever we entered the portion of our worship experience every Sunday, when we receive our tithes and offerings, that there was a rush to the giving kiosk and there was a line afterwards? What would it look like if we moved the giving kiosk over onto that mountain and you had to hike up to the top of it? I think a lot of you would be like, hey, what's this text to give option that you have? Tell me more about online giving. Well, I would like to know about the basket you've mentioned. But I'm serious. The joy that came after they heard about this, what would it look like? And it didn't just say that they gave a little bit. It said they gave large quantities in great heaps. Their first fruits, not their leftovers. Let's go to Malachi 3, 8 through 9. Will man rob God? Listen, I'm very, very thankful that I have the amazing opportunity to say I've never robbed anyone. Never held up a gas station. Never went into a bank and said, give me all the money. Slide a note across the... Never did that. Never had to rob somebody in a parking lot. Grocery store. Never shoplifted. I accidentally put a thing of Tic Tacs in my pocket at Kogo's when I was like 10. And it was just habit because you put Tic Tacs in your pocket, right? And I remember I got outside and I was like, oh! And I walked back into Kogo's. I was like, sir, I'm going to put my hand in my pocket to pull these Tic Tacs out that I accidentally put in. I would like to pay for them now. He laughed so hard. I was like, I can't believe you're telling me this. I was like, I'm an honest man. Paid for the Tic Tacs. But I can't say that I've never robbed God. And that's painful to say. That's hard to say, but it's honest. Why? There's fear in all of our lives. And I didn't start where I'm at now. This is 18 years. Lots of fear can creep in. You may not deal with fear financially. You may not deal with that. But you may deal with other lies that you need to get over. And how do you get over them? You talk about them and you ask questions. I haven't gotten over my fear by myself. Rachel was a huge, huge teammate that helped in that. The men and women of the church that have been placed in our lives have been huge helps in that over decades. Took a real big step in January this year because 5 years of dealing with bone infections and hospitalizations and all this stuff, it can really impact you. And the enemy can lie. So in January, took a big faith step. Had to automatically enter my information online so that every moment, once my account, once our automatic pay hit our account, it automatically left. Didn't even have, just right away. And I went to some of the elders and elder apprentices and pastors like, hey, I did this. I just want you to know. I want you to hold it accountable. And I don't know how to change it, even if I could. I have no idea. And they were so celebratory. I was excited. And I just got, this week, got a notification. Your information's expiring. And I was like, oh, man, I could just wait a week. The enemy creeped in and started lying. You could just wait a week. Went to Rachel. I was like, hey, I got to update this. And then we started talking about some other things. So we're going to take a big kick. We're just going to kick the devil a little bit. We're going to update the number so that it's more. Kick the devil in the face. So for the first time, I believe that we're going to be able to get to a point that we're more than tithing. In Jesus' name, we're going to get there. We're not there yet, but we want to get there. Because Rick Warren, somebody that I, purpose-driven life author, he lives on 10 and gives 90. I'm just praying to give 11. But how cool is that? Just to have goals in this area, to have goals to step forward. Well, man robbed God, yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have you robbed me in your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me and the whole nation. Listen, I'd much rather have blessing be a word that's used to describe who I am in my household than curse. I don't want that. I don't like that word. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Testing God in this, testing God in your finances, testing God with your generosity, testing God with your joy level. I guarantee you the windows of heaven open up in your life. And it's not just, it's not the windows of an ATM. It's not, money just doesn't start flowing back. It's not like a 401k or a 403b or a Roth IRA. You can't just log in and check your balance. You're investing in the kingdom of God, and we're not going to see the return sometime this side of heaven. Sometimes I pray, I think it would be cool if you could just log in to like, it wouldn't be God.org. What would his dot be? God.Jesus. slash Holy Spirit. He wouldn't even need a doctor. It'd just be the Trinity. But if you could log in and see your kingdom account and see how it's doing, how your return's going, I think that'd be pretty cool. But in all honesty, you can. What's your life look like? What's your joy level look like? And you can say, oh, I'm not happy. Happiness is a feeling and feelings lie. Joy is a gift from God. Are you walking in the gift? I know some people that have some really negative things going on, but you're not robbing them of their joy ever. And they're like, these people say, oh, they're faking it. No. The windows of heaven will open up. They will open up how? In your family, your friendships, your neighborhood. I'm believing for our city. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Let's go New Testament. Don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will also be. Make investments in the kingdom of God. The return rate is unfathomable. I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're going to inherit the kingdom of God, and our inheritance is the same. We're all going to get to go walking on streets of gold. The sidewalk in front of my house in heaven is not going to be different than your sidewalk. We're all going to get a gold sidewalk. How cool is that? That you're not going to have to put salt down. There's not going to be any snow. Did you hear me? We're not going to have to put salt down on the sidewalks. It's not going to be sippy, slippy. Sippy. Sippy. That's how Lennon would say it. It's sippy out there. Make investments in the future. I think about Chuck Quinter. Chuck and Dee Quinter. First person and last person that I know of Bridge City Church that Pastor Keith had to go back to him and say, Chuck, I know what you make and I know what you're giving. How are you doing this? And he said to him, you know, I didn't know Jesus for a lot of years. I'm catching up. Chuck's never going to get to see the White Oak campus when we get our new building. Ever. This side of heaven. Like he'll never get to sit in one of the seats. But the investment he made so that we could get there. Sally Paladin will never get to physically walk through the doors of the White Oak campus when we get to have them. But the investment she made. George Fulmer. Never going to get to walk through those doors, but the investment he made in this campus. Don't store up your riches in things other than the kingdom. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, and he created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he's planned for us long ago. It doesn't say that I am God's masterpiece. It doesn't say that you are God's masterpiece. It says that we are God's masterpiece. When we're gathered together, all moving together in one direction for one glorious hope for the future, it's masterful. It is beautiful. When we all do what God has planned for us long ago, it is beautiful. When we all put all of our stuff together in one basket or one giving kiosk. That was a joke. Okay. You guys are have fun about talking about money in church. Or one online giving account. I'm serious. When we do this together, it is beautiful to see. It's masterful. We're going to start landing the plane, and I'm going to invite the worship team back up. But listen, there's a lot of questions still that a lot of us might have about giving. And that's okay. No question's a dumb question except for an unasked one. Ask questions, learn. Connection groups are coming up, and it is a great time to ask questions. Sunday morning when we're all together during the big family reunion time here, this is not a time to ask questions. As a matter of fact, if one of you shouted out a question right now, one of our ushers would be like, hey, we'd like to answer that in the lobby. I'm being serious. They probably would. Randy would be like, come on, I'll talk to you out here. Because this just isn't the time for that. But I will tell you when it is. Connection groups is a great time. Monday through Saturday is a great time for questions. But I want to leave you with three questions that are going to help you move forward in your generosity and taking a step forward, because we could all take steps forward. What can I give up? What can I give is the first question. What can I give up is the second question. The third question is, what can I believe God for? The first one is, that's the starting point. What can I give? That's a minimal point. Where can I start? The second one, what can I give up? That's where it's starting to, faith's starting to enter the conversation. What can I believe God for? You're walking in faith and not by sight at that point. What can I give? What can I give up? I don't need to go get that coffee, or I don't need that Snickers bar. That's what Pastor Rick would always say. I'm like, Pastor Rick, people aren't buying that many Snickers anymore. But you know, I don't need to eat out at lunch. I can give that up. But what can I believe God for? Believe that he can challenge you in your obedience, challenge you in your generosity. Go from here to here. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. When it moves from our head to our heart, we will truly do anything for the kingdom. We'll give everything. A tenth, a tithe is a starting point. We'll give everything whenever God has changed and transformed and impacted our life in such a way. We just want everybody to know about it. Now listen, God has not given me direction to sell everything and give it all to church. If he did, I'd call some people and ask for their blessing first. Like, hey, are you going to co-sign this and make sure that this is what God wants me to do? Because I don't know if my faith's there. If God told me to sell everything and move to Guatemala, I don't know if I'm there. But I will tell you this. I do know that by receiving the kingdom of God, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I got an unbelievable perspective of how much he was willing to pay for each and every one of us. Everything. He paid everything for you and for me. He gave all. You were worth the price that he paid. He didn't pay for you and your life and your soul and the forgiveness of your sins and go to God and say, hey, I want a return on that one. He or she wasn't worth it. He wanted to give everything for you so that you could inherit the kingdom of God. But all you have to do is receive it. So my question to you this morning, in addition to the three that I just asked, do you have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future? Have you inherited the kingdom of God? Has it gone from your head to your heart? What does that mean? A lot of people say they know God. A lot of people say they know of him. But the Bible says that you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord and you shall be saved. Saved from what? An eternity without him. And a life on earth separate from him. So you may be in here today, and you might have God up here, but you never received him in here. If I'm speaking to you right now, slip your hand up and say, God, that's me. I need you. There are people that are ready to pray with you and encourage you and empower you and equip you to move forward in your walk with Jesus. Anyone at all this morning? Maybe you received that gift and you tried to return it, and now it's time for you to rededicate your life to him. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to see that giving is an act of worship and grace and trust. Lord, help us to move forward in this area. Give us joy in our giving and help us to take one step forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,